Atheist Nomads, episode 137, By Any Means, with Trav Mamone.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us today is Trav Mamone from the By Any Means podcast. Trav, welcome to Atheist Nomads.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's about time. I had this amazing streak of just like getting a ton of guests all in one day, and then I literally lined up three guests all in like a space of like an hour, and then I was like, yeah, but Trav, I wanted you on, and so it's like, okay, we'll have you in like 3 months. No, but anyways, yeah, sorry. Oh man.
So, well, the funny thing is that, you know, this week, like, let me see, it's you guys, Uber 47, Cellar Door Skeptics, and Minnesota Trans Atheist are all interviewing me this week. So yeah, it looks like we both struck gold.
Nice.
Wow, you are pretty heavily booked.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was that popular.
Hey. This is totally off topic, but does Cellar Door Skeptics have anything to do with Donnie Darko?
You know what? It was funny. When they were just starting the podcast, Chris messaged me on Facebook and was like, hey, I'm starting this new podcast called Cellar Door Skeptics. Would you like to record a little bumper for us where you say, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so and such-and-such a podcast. You're listening to Cellar Door Skeptics and, you know, mention something about Atheist Revolution or whatever. And I said, yeah, sure. Tell me a little bit about your podcast, because according to a famous linguist, the two most beautiful words in the English language are cellar door.
Right.
I don't know if he got the reference or not.
Oh, man. Yeah. Love that movie. Anyways, I'd be like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. I am Frank the Rabbit. And yeah. Anyways. So, we're totally talking about a different show and not you or yours. Anyways. So, how are you?
How am I? Good. Good. Very good.
Where in the country are you, if you don't mind?
I live in Maryland's Eastern Shore region, like basically going towards closer to Delaware than DC. I live about an hour and a half away from Baltimore.
Okay. That sounds horrible, but better than the Jersey Shore?
No, trust me. The Maryland's Eastern Shore is much better than the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Although, unfortunately, you know, even the Jersey Shore may have their Guidos, we have hillbillies here, so...
Right.
You are south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, actually, it's weird. Maryland, like, sits right on top of the Mason-Dixon line, so depending on where you go, like, some areas are real urban, and other areas are, like, total, you know, backwoods, like, total country. So it's, like, this weird dynamic. In fact, let me tell you something about my little town of Easton. The county courthouse has two statues in front. One is of Frederick Douglass, and the other is commemorating the Talbot boys who were soldiers who fought for the Confederacy from our county. So that pretty much says everything you need to know about Maryland.
Oh, right. Yeah. Despite the fact that Maryland was never part of the Confederacy.
Right.
Wow.
That kind of reminds me of like Nantucket or Martha's Vineyards. I mean, that's way up north in Massachusetts, and they have Confederate shit up there too. It's kind of weird.
Well, yeah, not too far from where I live is the city of Atlanta, and by city I mean place where a few rednecks live and have dirt roads. Used to be a booming town, and by booming, you know, this would have been late 1800s and, you know, 500 people, but definitely
recent history.
Yeah, yeah, it's still there, and it's still called Atlanta, and there's still a lot of Southerners here.
Oh, okay. See, I always imagined that Atlanta would be a much bigger town, because that's like the state capital, right?
In Georgia, or I'm talking Idaho.
Oh, okay.
Atlanta,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I might have missed that detail.
Yeah, Idaho's got weird shit. Okay. They like have this mirror of the South somehow. It's kind of odd. Actually, a lot of Confederates, like after the Civil War, went up to Idaho just to get the fuck out of the area. And it's weird. Anyways, so I hear you do a podcast.
Yeah, it's called the By Any Means Podcast. It's a weekly show where I interview bloggers, podcasters, and activists about atheism, secularism, humanism, social justice, feminism, and pretty much whatever else I want to talk about. Some of my past guests have included, Hina Databoy, Matthew Fasciani, Stephanie Katormson, Callie Wright, Ishmael Brown. let's see here, Sikivu Hutchinson. I don't know if I should. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and spill the beans right now. I actually
name drop.
I actually just emailed David Silverman.
Yeah,
and he emailed me back, and so we're trying to set up a time. The day he picked, though, I'm not really quite sure if it'll work for me because I work that day. So I'll keep in touch with him and see if maybe we can find some time to chat.
No, that's David Silverman. You got to make that work.
Yeah, that is true. He is a very busy person.
Oh, man. We had him on our show, what, like a year and change ago? One of the most fun I've had talking with a guest.
That was shortly after episode 50.
Oh, holy shit. All right.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Be prepared. He talks a lot. We talked for like 1 hour and 45, 2 hours. So... have that really open thing going, or just have like a direct questions you want to ask, because he storytells a lot. It's awesome.
Okay, cool. When I do interviews, I usually have about 10 questions written down that I read off of a script, and if somebody says something that reminds me of something, be like, well, yeah, that's kind of like in my experience where blah 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 blah, you know, we'll go from there. I would love to talk to David about the whole firebrand atheism thing, because I'm not really quite sure if, I don't know, it seems like when it comes to my sort of militant atheism, I'm kind of somewhere in between Christopher Hitchens and Chris Stedman. You know, I'm kind of lukewarm. I don't know if lukewarm is a good term or not. Like, I have a lot of Christian friends. They're liberal Christian friends, though, so they have a lot of them. Most of them have like the same social political views that I have. You know, we're all
we can all agree about, right?
Yeah, they'll You know, we'll often talk about, you know, white supremacy and patriarchy and all that stuff. But when religion comes up, we kind of just don't mention it at all. So I'm like, well, gee, I don't know if David Silverman would say I'm doing it wrong or not.
I remember back in the day when some of the first atheist billboards went up, and they were like the really nice fluffy ones, like can you be good without God? Many are, and everybody was just all up in arms and pissed about it. And then David Silverman came out, and you know, his went up, and you know, everybody just lost their mind, you know. And then then there became like the David Silverman angry atheist, and then the nicer atheist over there, and you know, it it kind of has a wedge effect, and I think that you need both kinds. That, you know, you want one to kind of draw your attention away from what's actually like getting accomplished, and then, you know, kind of the ones that give you warm fuzzies. I don't know. I'm a little drunk. Be honest.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. I'm kicking back with my beer right now, so, you know, we'll all just drink and chit chat together and just see where this thing goes.
That's how we normally do it.
Yeah.
perfect.
I had just enough time to like chug it, like two beers, and then I rode home really quick, and now I'm starting to feel it, so it's great. Don't tell the cops.
And when Wesley drinks beers, it's not like normal beers. Those are micros that are 8-9% alcohol.
Ten.
Oh, me too. In fact, this beer I'm drinking right now, it's by I don't know if it's pronounced Tregs or Trogs. It's Troegs, and this particular brew is called Troganator. It's a double block beer. It's 8.2% alcohol per volume. So it has like the same potency as an IPA, but it doesn't make you feel like you're dying of thirst afterwards.
Nice. Got some kick to it. Okay. Man. Yeah. I'm usually love Belgians, and oh my goodness, doubles, triples. Oh, well, I might have to send you something.
Cool.
Man.
All right. Well, it's a little bit early, but let's go ahead and take our first break. And when we come back, let's talk about your background.
Cool.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
All right. So you haven't always been a atheist or humanist. So tell us about your background.
Sure. Well, I was raised what I like to call a wedding and funeral Christian. The only time my family and I ever went to church was either when someone was getting either married or buried. But I was still taught about Jesus. I just wasn't really too deep into the Bible. Like, my mom gave me one of those like little children's Bibles where it has like, you know, the cute little illustrations and whatnot. So I knew about Jesus, but I totally wasn't aware of like church culture or like everything the Bible said. I just knew like the basics. And then in high school, like when I was in high school, it was during the late 90s when Marilyn Manson was all the rage. And so I was like a huge Marilyn Manson fan back in the day. And so like I totally bought the whole Antichrist superstar image and said, oh, religion is stupid and blah, blah, blah. Even though I didn't know any of the actual arguments against God, all I knew was, you know, Marilyn Manson said religion was stupid and, you know, these people on TV like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell are assholes. So, you know, I guess religion is full of shit. But, you know, also at the time during high school, I was going through a really tough time with depression. I mean, it was high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was tough for everyone, but for me, it was like really tough. So like I was trying to find some sort of meaning, something that would help with the pain. Like, for a long time, I was cutting myself, and I was in therapy a few times for that, until finally, when I was about 17, I started dating this girl who was a Christian, and one night, during a really bad depression spell, I, like, broke down over the phone talking to her, and just started crying, and she offered me a lot of comforting words about how, you know, God was there for me and all that stuff. And what she really honed in on was the fact that, you know, God was like the father I never had, because I grew up without a father. He bailed out on me and my mom when I was a baby. I mean, I saw him from like time to time When I was, you know, a kid, and we're cool now. We're friends on Facebook. But, you know, that, you know, when she said that, you know, God would be like the father I never had, then that really sort of hit deep as well. And so.
Did that make you feel better or did it piss you off, though?
No, it actually made me feel better because I was like so distraught. I was looking for pretty much anything to make me happy. And so, you know, this girl happened to say the right words at the right time. And so from there on in, I basically became a Christian. I was a Christian for about, let's see here, I was 17 at the time. About a good 13 years, I think. Basically, wow. Yeah. So, when I first got into Christianity, the girl I was dating was involved in this charismatic church. It was a non-denominational church, but they pretty much operated. They had the same theology and worship style as Pentecostal churches with, you know, the dancing in the aisles and the hooping and the hollering and the, you know, Jesus is coming, you know, let's all be excited for the apocalypse and speaking in tongues and all that crap. And I never spoke in tongues or anything like that because I was always a more mellow person. But I tried to play along because I didn't really know what else was out there in Christianity. So, but after a while, I started going to, it was in college, I started going to a mega church, which had like every bad mega church cliche possible. Like their youth group had like, they dimmed the lights and made it seem like it was an MTV Unplugged performance during worship. God. And no. Yeah. And, it was like the sanctuary looked like, I don't know, some sort of, I don't know, it was set up more like an auditorium for a TED talk. And there were like slides and worship music where they would repeat the same phrase over and over again. You know, even though that was better than the charismatic church, after a while, I started realizing, yeah, something not right about this either. So then I started going to a conservative Lutheran church, and I liked the worship style. You know, I liked the more traditional style of worship. Around, let me see, trying to think when things started to change. It's kind of hard to tell because it's been like a slow, gradual evolution from, you know, Christianity to atheism. That's the best way I can describe it, really. There wasn't like one moment where I was like, wait a minute, something's not right here. It was more like little cracks in the ice that event that just kept, you know, kept popping up. Like I started getting involved with the emergent Christian movement, which is a much more progressive form of Christianity. And so from there, I started deconstructing a lot of my previous held beliefs about things like the virgin birth and creationism versus evolution and homosexuality. It's funny. First, I became an LGBT ally. Then I came out as bisexual and genderqueer. I kind of did that backwards for some reason.
nice.
So you just made a gradual transition from, well, abrupt transition from nominally Christian to batshit crazy. And then just gradually, slowly worked your way out.
Yeah, basically. It also didn't help, or maybe it did help, that by the same time I was sort of deconstructing my theology, that I was engaged to this girl who, whose family was like strict Calvinists. You know, they were like, you know, John Piper, Mark Driscoll, and the like, where, you know, right. And so it was like, you know, my job as a man, this is before I came out as genderqueer, even before I realized I was genderqueer, that, you know, because I had a penis, that, you know, somehow it was God, like, bestowed upon me so many responsibilities for providing for my family and being the spiritual head, which means that I was somehow responsible for my fiance's religious beliefs or some stupid shit like that. And they would go on and on. And so that definitely kind of pushed me to really deconstruct my beliefs even more. And so finally, well, I finally broke up with my fiance, and right around then, actually, I also came out as bisexual. So basically what happened was I was just deconstructing my religious beliefs so much that eventually one day God sort of disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It just keeps on getting smaller and smaller, and you're like, why do I still need this? Fuck it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, and it also makes sense that that would be happening in tandem with just learning more about yourself, because as you lose that, those you know, especially the conservative Christian beliefs, it makes it a lot easier to recognize other things in yourself, things that don't live up to that hypothetical standard.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's sort of interesting, like, when it's only now looking back that I realize, oh shit, I internalize a lot of damaging ideas, especially a lot of like sex negative ideas, which I'm not going to go into the whole details about what goes on in the bedroom, but it's that's okay. Something I'm still trying to process and work out. And I remember one thing that I really struggled with during my Christian years was the whole idea of original sin. You know, you're born a sinner. Like, I thought originally when I first became a Christian, I found that very liberating, because I was like, oh, wow, you know, you mean I'm not the only person who's fucked up? Hey, we're all fucked up. That's great. Until I really started thinking about it more, and I was like, well, shit, God is basically saying that I deserve hell just for being born, just for being human, you know? And so, you know, even though the churches I went to talked a lot about grace and, through grace you're saved, through faith and or whatever, I don't know, I still felt like, you know, I'm a dirty sinner. You know, there's absolutely nothing I can do to make myself become the person that I want to be, this great holy person, no matter what I do, no matter how hard I pray. And so that is definitely another idea that sort of implanted itself in my head that I'm still trying to get over, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've definitely found in my own experience that every so often there's thoughts that I have that's like, okay, why am I thinking that? And it's, yeah, hangover is left over from religion.
I always thought that it doesn't matter like what you do. You just go in and get saved at the end and like, fuck it. Everything's washed away. And so you can like do whatever you want to. It seemed like the best get out of jail free card.
Right, you're supposed to repent whenever you make a mistake. You know, it's not enough to simply go into confession booth or, well, I never was Catholic, but, you know, confess your sins and, you know, ask God to forgive you and then go back living your life. It's like, no, you have to repent that sin, you know, even for like the smallest little mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Boy.
All right, so we have... Yet you are our first guest that we've had that is genderqueer. And could you explain that a bit for us?
Sure. That's sort of like a catch-all term for people who don't identify as either 100% man or 100% woman. Like, I was assigned male at birth, but all through my life, I kind of never really felt comfortable being a guy. And I'm not even talking about like, you know, tough, macho, masculine excuse me, masculinity. You know, it's like, oh, I like football and power tools and fast cars and all that stuff, which, you know, you don't have to be, you know, not into that tough masculine image doesn't mean you're not a man, even though our society tends to think otherwise. But it wasn't just that, but also I kind of felt like, you know, oh, I feel like I'm kind of, I don't feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, but I also feel like I could be one of the girls as well. It was so, like, confusing to me, because I didn't know that the term even existed. So it wasn't until like a couple years ago that I was watching someone on YouTube and they described being genderqueer as, you know, being like, you know, this much boy and this much girl. And I'm like, oh, there's a word for that? So I started, nice. Yeah, I started exploring it. And at first I wasn't quite sure if the term applied for me, because I don't want to like be the kind of person who, you know, adopts an identity just to be hip and cool. You know, that's something I really try to be conscious about. But it wasn't until I started really, you know, sort of exploring my gender and like trying different ways of presenting myself. Like I shaved off my beard, grew my hair, and started wearing nail polish and scarves and women's bootcut jeans. I was like, yep, this fits. Genderqueer it is. And hey. Actually, before I forget, here's another example that I use a lot of times when people ask me what it means to be genderqueer. If like you take red paint and mix it with yellow paint, you get a brand new color, orange, right? So yep. That's how I view my genderqueerness. So, like if you take masculinity, boy and girl, and mix them together, you get a brand new gender, which I call genderqueer.
Okay.
I still get manicures and gel polish. I'm just not down with the jeans, so they don't fit right.
Okay, cool. Well, that's fine. Like I said, you don't have to be like, you know, a super tough masculine guy to identify as a guy. It's just how you personally see yourself, you know?
Yeah. You know, just, God, I need a manicure. Oh, man. It's been a while. Goodness.
So do you think that label is a good, effective label, or do you think it's really just the best that can be done with the language we have available right now?
Well, another catch-all term for people whose gender identity doesn't fit into either 100% man or 100% woman is non-binary. And I use that term a lot myself. I use non-binary and genderqueer interchangeably. As far as other labels, well, there's like a lot of non-binary labels. There's bigender, there's agender, people who feel like they don't have any gender at all. There's demi-boy, demi-girl. Here's another thing I like to explain to people, and my nerd friends really get this. People assume that gender is a strict binary of man and woman, but actually, from a non-binary, non-dichotomous point of view, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, gendery-wendery stuff.
Congratulations on the kind of Doctor Who reference.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah. The pronoun thing. Are you?
Oh, wait. Let's take a break before we get to pronouns.
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. Tweet us @atheistnomads. Send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice. Go ahead.
So, Trav, about pronouns. I hear there's a whole bunch of stuff, a bunch of hoo-ha about this stuff. So do you identify as like he, him, or they, them, or she, her?
They, them, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no other pronouns in the English language that really that's gender neutral. You know, the only well there is it, but it's very
harsh.
Dehumanizing. You know, you call an object an it, not a person.
Inanimate objects,
right?
Which is quite unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there are some who use. Oh, I'm sorry. What was you about to say?
Oh, I was. Didn't the French or there was some European country that was actually making a brand new term? Just throwing that out there.
I'm not sure. I'll have to double check. I do know there are like certain countries. If somebody wants to fact check me, go right ahead. That are listing third gender options on, I think, driver's licenses. I'm not, or
birth certificates, that's something I think.
Yeah, that's it.
That'd be Germany.
Yeah. It's been a while since I read that article, so I don't really remember it that much. You know?
One thing I think makes it easier for Germany is German is a three-gender language.
Oh, okay.
They have masculine, feminine, and neuter.
Oh,
it would be.
Well, shit! Why do they have to have that, not us?
We got rid of gender and language, with the exception of pronouns.
Oh, okay.
And so we have three genders and pronouns. We have masculine, feminine, and neuter, but neuter ended up becoming either plural or inanimate.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I found it. Sweden adds a gender.
Oh, okay.
They added a gender-neutral pronoun to their dictionary. So it's basically han, H-A-N is he, H-O-N, hon is she, and then hen, H-E-N, will be added to make a third gender.
Hmm.
And to their language, they're kind of introducing it into like kindergartens or like preschools, and just basically this new generation will just have it with them. Kind of neat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, and I personally, I and you know, I'm a cisgender male who is as far on the masculine side of the gender spectrum as you know, possible without being a complete raging asshole.
Right.
At least I try not to be a complete raging asshole. I prefer the idea of creating a new gender neutral pronoun over repurposing the plural.
Yeah, that does sound nice. There are some who use alternative pronouns like Z, I'm trying to think there's some others, but Z here pronouns are pretty much the only like the one alternative pronoun that I'm most familiar with, you know.
Yeah,
you can probably go on Google and find all sorts of gender neutral pronouns. Well, I just can't remember them right now.
Facebook has something like 50 options, I think.
Holy shit!
Right, cool. Right. Although I think that's more for like gender identities and not pronouns.
Yeah, that is gender identities. I know they do have a. I think they have added a pronoun option as well, but I'm not certain on that. But so with the Z, is that X or Z?
Z.
That is with the Z.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because if it was an X, that would make sense because it'd be, you know, the variable.
Right. You're right. Going for well, the actually, math I think term. There is.
Okay. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Actually, I think there is a an alternative pronoun with XE. I'll have to search that later on.
Hmm. Well, since you guys laid it out, I guess I will too. I'm on a scale of Dustin on one side and you on the other side, Trav. I'm more towards Dustin's side, but somewhere more in the middle-ish. Yeah, just saying.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like I said, wibbly wobbly, gendery wendery stuff.
Yeah. Something like that.
So okay, I back on the pronouns thing, because I do love language and how it all works in the history and development, and especially how to make sure things are clear, precise, and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the advantages of using they and them, other than the fact that those are readily available words in our current lexicon?
Well, basically, it lets people know that not everyone falls into the strict binary, not everyone falls into he or she categories, you know, in the little forms. Not everyone fits into the M or F boxes, right? So I think that definitely opens up a lot of conversations and hopefully change some people's minds about gender, you know?
Okay. Do you have any concerns about it causing any confusion?
Yeah. In fact, I forgot to mention this story. My Facebook friends, they're totally cool with me being genderqueer, although sometimes they're a little bit hesitant about the pronoun thing. In fact,
do you notice a lot of people calling you Trav in sentences versus using they, them?
Go out of their way
to use your name.
Oh, you mean like Trav went to Trav's car to get Trav's cigarettes out of the glove box or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
No, not really, but one time there was a bit of I don't know if argument's a good word, but more like a couple of my friends were like, you know, but they, them is plural. I mean, I'm totally cool with you being genderqueer and wanting to use gender neutral pronouns, but man, the English language, it needs a singular gender neutral option, you know, because they is plural, da da da. So I was finally like, okay, fine, just call me Z here's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, somebody invites you to a party and then, you know, that person thinks somebody thinks that you have a plus one coming now. Like, what the fuck?
Right, yeah, right.
Just me.
Exactly.
Now, when you look at historical development of, you know, or the historical development of the English language, there used to be singular and plural second person pronouns. So there was thee, thou, and thine for singular, and you, your, and yours for plural. And the plural ended up becoming more commonly used as a sign of respect for people of a higher class than you, kind of like the royal we. And then eventually by about 1600, the singular pretty much just completely fell out of popular usage.
Oh.
Fast forward 200 years in the southern United States, people found the need for a second person plural, and y'all was born.
Right.
I don't take serious issue with turning they and them into singular, but it will end up creating thal.
Yeah.
And if we're going to have to create a new word, we could either create it later to replace the plural or add it in on the singular.
I'm all for making a completely different word. Let's just not let the South make anything new.
I like that.
Well, especially since in the South, from what I understand, y'all isn't enough. So now you have all y'all. And if we had all of y'all, that would be, no, we don't need that.
Y'all, y'alls, all y'alls. Yeah. You can plural that shit too. No.
So then the other question, okay, since your preferred pronoun is they, them, which form of the verb to be is or they, or is or are?
That would be are. Which, okay. You know, it is confusing as well, but, you know, like when I hear other people who use they/them pronouns, they use are instead of is because, you know, they is kind of makes it sound like, I don't know, an old black stereotype, you know?
And that just
falls with you. Oh, Dave's going to get a cigarette.
That falls with you.
It does, but it goes, you know, is more of a singular. So I don't know. I could.
Wesley, if I'm just talking to you,
yes.
I will ask if you are fine. And that's because you is a plural term that is now singular as well.
But
are followed with it. It's not.
But if we're talking like he, she, they, oh, well, he, she, then it is.
Right.
So that would, to me, that would translate to they also.
But with like using you as the example, when there was a singular, the, there was a, the would have gone with is while you went with are. And when they dropped the, they kept are with you. Whether it's singular or plural.
All right.
So it gets confusing when you start dropping parts of pronoun structures. Huh. Or not necessarily confusing, yeah. Because everybody knows how to use it.
Everybody knows how to use it just by rote. I mean, come on. It's not, and most people don't actually study English past what, 7th, 8th grade.
Well, actually I'm an English major. I am hopefully by after summer, I'll finally have my bachelor's degree in it.
Ah, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You'll have a degree that is just slightly less useless than mine. Mine's in theology.
Oh, okay. Well, if it makes you feel any better, my major is in English and my minor is in philosophy.
Mine minors were history and biblical languages.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So about the same boat. All right. It's time for our last break and then we will be back.
If you like this show, consider giving us some financial support. To make it really easy with one-time donations or to support us on a per episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon, find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask. Please think of the kittens.
You know, honestly, I was expecting the pronouns discussion to go longer and have more arguments.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I'm not a very argumentative person.
When it comes to fancy book learning, I just kind of, you know, shake my head and agree.
All right. So I also see on your website that you identify as a secular humanist.
Yes.
Oh. Why
was that a bad thing?
No. Why did you pick that as your label as opposed to atheist?
Oh, actually, I identify as both atheist and secular humanist. Basically, what I do is the reason why I push humanist more than atheist is even though it's a cliche, it's true. You know, atheists only tells people what I don't believe, whereas humanist tells people what I do believe. And so, you know, I don't want people to think that all I do is just rag on religion all the time, which, I mean, I do that quite a bit, but I also want to balance that out with, you know, telling people that, you know, I still believe in love, I believe in beauty, I believe in justice, and those are the goals that I pursue, and that's why I use both labels.
Okay. Damn, you really are not an argumentative person.
No, not really, unless you want to, like, I don't know, debate me about, I don't know, just pick a controversial topic, or...
Doctor Who sucks. Sorry.
Okay, now it's my turn to end this conversation.
I'm a Tenet person. I didn't like Matt Smith.
Oh yeah, David Tennant, he was the best.
Yeah. Capaldi.
Yeah, I mean, I like him, but I don't know. He just can't hold a candle to David Tennant. No.
Right?
In fact, speaking of David Tennant, I still need to finish watching Jessica Jones. I started it, but then, like, I don't know. I haven't had time to finish it.
You need to watch that. And then if you can't get enough David Tennant, you still want more, go back to Netflix and watch Broadchurch.
Oh, yeah, that's another show that I need to finish watching. I only saw like a couple of episodes of that as well.
Really? That shit hooked me in. Oh, man.
Yeah,
and my girl just marathoned it.
I haven't seen Broadchurch, and I've seen bits and pieces of Jessica Jones.
I loved them both, man.
Lauren was watching that while I'd be editing.
Ah, Jessica Jones, that got picked up for a second season. Daredevil's coming back really soon. Luke Cage should be coming really soon after that. And there's another one. Oh, shit. Oh, man. I love my MCU.
Marvel Comic Universe?
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Are you down with the geeky side of things?
Yeah, definitely. I am like a huge Doctor Who fan. I love Supernatural. Sherlock, let's see here, Sherlock's what other awesome. Fandoms are into. One show that I just finished watching and I'm waiting for them to release new episodes is Steven Universe on Cartoon Network.
I haven't heard of this.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's, of course, naturally an animated show about this boy named Steven Universe. His father is a human, and his mother was part of an advanced alien race called the Gems, where they all have, like, magical powers out of their, I don't know, embedded crystal gems, and Steven like lives with three other crystal gems, Pearl, Amethyst, and Garnet, and they sort of help him harness his powers, and it's a really good show. Really hooks you in. I mean, at least it hooked me in, you know?
Hmm. Oh, I found the other Netflix one. The Punisher, he's coming back.
Oh, cool.
And he's gonna tie really tight into Daredevil. Remember that trailer? Yeah, Punisher's gonna like shake some shit up, so can't wait.
Great. You know what another Netflix show I really love is Sense8.
Sense8 was a pretty awesome. Yeah,
definitely.
The Wachowski brothers really failed there for a while, but Sense8, that was pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, the first couple episodes were a little bit slow, although... sure.
Well, they had so many characters, it takes some time to build up.
Right. Although, Nomi and Amanita, of course, instantly grabbed my attention, you know, sure. Especially since Amanita is played by, you know, Martha Jones from Doctor Who. So I was like, oh, wow, they actually have a trans actress, and Martha Jones is her girlfriend. I'm going to love this show.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. For people that don't know, Sense8 is about a small group of people. I think it's eight people, was it?
Anyways,
have a telepathic connection around the world, and they could sense the feelings of other people and actually like have, I don't know, conversations with them, see them even when they weren't in the room. It's kind of weird, kind of cool. They were being hunted by other people, you know. Anyways, totally ripping on it. Really good show, though. Be awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
They're bringing it back, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they do in the next season.
Well, give me some Kimmy Schmidt and I'll be happy.
Cool. And that's one show I haven't seen yet. I should probably see that soon.
It was pretty good and doesn't take long to get through.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's kind of like pop candy. I don't know. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a movie Amelie, you know, no matter how good or how bad I feel, watching Amelie will make me feel better. And it's kind of the same for Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, a girl who comes out of a survival bunker with a where she was trapped with a cult leader for a decade and gets to figure out the world.
Oh, cool. It's really cool. Yeah, I heard some pretty good. Yeah, I heard good things about it. I'll have to, once I find some time, I'll have to, that'll probably be the next thing I binge watch.
Oh, that's one thing you have to look forward to when you graduate from college, is getting that moment where you have a job and you work 40 hours a week, and then you sit at home and you watch stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, what do I do now? I actually have free time. This is so weird. What do I do with it?
Right.
Well, me and my girlfriend color and watch TV. Trev, you're all right, man.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Who's next up? Whose show are you on next?
Oh, that would be the Secular Barbershop with Uber 47. I interviewed him a couple weeks ago, and this week he's returning the favor.
Oh, nice.
I've heard him a couple times over on
Angry Black Rant.
Angry Black Rant.
Yes. Well, it's Ishmael's show. Yeah. And
yeah. That's really how I first heard him, too.
Yeah. Doing a real good job on there.
Yeah, yeah, and he has, like, one of the coolest podcast voice in the world. Like, what's up, secular minorities? This is Uber 47 coming at you at the Secular Barbershop. I was like, oh, why can't I have a cool voice like that? You know, I got this high nasally, hi, this is Trav Mamone, and you're listening to By Any Means Podcast.
Oh, no. Nice. All right, what you got to plug? Give us a lowdown.
Yep, you can check out my podcast and my blog, which I don't really blog that much. I mostly do the podcast, but when I do blog, it can be found the same place you can find my podcast, which is www.byanymeans.com with by spelled B-I, and you can subscribe to the podcast through either iTunes, Spreaker, or Stitcher.
Hmm. Do you have a Twitters?
Yeah, it's at Team Mamone. And also you can follow the By Any Means page on Facebook at facebook.com/byanymeanspodcast.
Sweet.
Very nice. Alrighty, well, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yay.
Okay, Trav is gone now, so it's just Wesley and I. I'm really freaking excited because, you know, we had this. And if you listen to the thank you message I sent out, some of this will be repetitive, but last episode we had the $100 match from Travis McGee that was exceeded amazingly. $330 is where that ended up going by the time it was all said and done. And wow. More money has come in since then, since we officially closed it. So thank you. This means a lot, and you don't have to stop sending us money by any means. We appreciate it. It will help with the tax bill and food and all of that. But I did get the order placed for the equipment upgrades today, and the first shipment will be coming in Thursday. So today is Tuesday that we're recording. So shortly after this is released, I will be having a box delivered at my door with the new interface and I think all of the stuff we will need to actually have the third mic set up. And hopefully, unless you already have somebody lined up for the next interview, we can put that to use.
Oh, awesome. No, I actually don't. So that'll be 2 weeks away. No, yeah. If you got somebody local, let's.
That'll be the one we'll be doing the weekend before our normal recording date, since you'll be hungover after your birthday, and I will be caucusing for Bernie Sanders.
Badass.
Yeah, yeah. So
I have to caucus myself.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. And we are just shy of a month away, actually by release, just less than a month away from our live show that we will be doing in Tacoma on Saturday, April 9.
Oh, yeah.
At a time and location that will be determined later. So if you are in the Seattle, Tacoma, Puget Sound metropolitan area or Western Washington in general, heck, if you want to drive across the mountains, by all means, we'll be having a live show in Tacoma, and yeah, come see us and buy us drinks.
And you know what? If you donate to the show and you come out, I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, should we talk about April?
Yes. Okay. So live show is April. The app, both for Apple and Android, should be released here in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
So by our live show, April 9, that should be up.
So we'll have a show player that's on iTunes and Android.
Yep. Available Badass. In the app stores and the Google Play Store. So that'll be awesome. And not only does it have the ability to play shows directly from it, but you can email us, call us, I think tweet us and go to our Facebook page all directly from within the app. So it'll be the easiest way to interact with us. Yeah. Okay. So awesome thing that we'll have. And it will be free. And then, yes, so what else is going on in April?
Well, you know, March was, you know, everybody helping us out. Definitely much appreciated. April, we're going to start helping you guys out a little bit, you know, get some swag going. T-shirts, buttons, stickers, anything like that. We're actually going to finally do this thing.
Yeah, we've thought and talked about it for a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, only talked about it for a couple of years. Fuck. I was really thinking about getting a t-shirt going for each of our nuclear sponsors.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, I think they really deserve something because, you know, they've really stuck with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
Especially my buddy Russ. I know he'd look really good in one.
very nice. So, yeah, big things coming. Keep your eyes and ears open, and we'll be back next week with news.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.